difference between what it means to be good when you're trying to be epic. No, you don't gotta believe in me. Nothing can stop me. I already said it. I'm taking everything they stole from us. Yeah. You got your problems, I'm a whole nother. I'm giving people something to believe in. I'ma show them freedom like a bow cutter.
We gon' fight back.
Yeah. We breaking chains over here.
Yeah.
You can stay over there.
Welcome back, everyone, to It's Last Call. Last Call with the alcohol only on. It is the Blue Wire Hustle Network. Now, joining me on the line, this man here, well, he'll be fighting once again. It's going to be PBC on Showtime, World Championship Boxing. He'll be fighting once again. This time it is Leo Fulton. We promise this time it's going to happen. We've been told, pinky swear and everything. But this man here will be jumping up also in action here. He'll be getting... making his Showtime World debut, World Championship, not Showbox anymore, it's Showtime. I give you the newest member of the PBC. I give you, it's Victor Pasilis. Victor, let's start off here with, last time we spoke, you were in the middle of things, you're going, well, let's see what's happening. It's now official. It's a three-fight deal. Hopefully there'll be more business, but... You'll be fighting this time on Showtime against Ray Salim. How happy are you about this? How happy are you that you're getting, to fight top opponents? You're on a televised card and you're getting paid. It's not like, peanuts now. It's a little bit better money.
First and foremost, I want to thank God, for giving me this opportunity, and my team for, backing me, my manager, and, PBC, Showtime, TGB, thank you guys. I'm thrilled, man. This is a huge blessing, especially fighting, for the WBA Interim Continental Championship. I'm excited to fight for my first little mini world title, as far as, Raiz goes, it's just another worthy opponent, just like Encarnacion. But remember what I told you about Encarnacion, There's gonna be at this level of boxing, you're gonna have a lot of great opponents, and you're gonna have a lot of great tough opponents. Everybody's tough at this level, but there's levels to this, and I just feel like it's gonna be another great show out.
Take us to Aleem. I mean, you look at him; he's a lot like you, record-wise, 17-0. He's also a guy who he's had to, fight for his career. I mean, you look at Marcus Bates, Adam Lopez. Last two guys, pretty good opponents. He's taking care of them. He was fighting guys even like all the way back in Philadelphia, Bates, Derek Wilson, Ramiro Robles. What does he bring to the table? I mean, when you look at him, when you and your team have broken him down, what kind of fighter is he? What do you expect him to try to do against you the 23rd?
I feel like we don't really pay too much mind to the videos or anything like that, because what I see, Marcus Bates, was not of the caliber fighter that, he wasn't as the caliber fighter of Encarnacion, neither was, Adam Lopez. Adam Lopez is actually one of my personal friends, but, I feel like, you can't really compare those kind of guys to me or to even Encarnacion, so I feel like, from what I've seen, I haven't really paid too much mind. I kind of just look at, one or two rounds, here and there, back, when I first got the fight. And I let my team do the rest, And, I feel like, what I've seen is he's just tough. Tough guy, comes forward. He's going to try to throw his combinations and keep walking forward. He doesn't seem so much of a... a power puncher like Encarnacion. He looks like more of a guy that's just going to try to wear you out with pressure, which is my favorite kind of fight, when they come forward. So, time can tell, we got 2 weeks, so we're going to find out in 2 weeks, what he's going to bring to them. Like I said, they always come forward for the first 10 seconds, 20 seconds, and then once they feel the power, then they start moving backwards, so... Let's just say that I feel like we're gonna do the exact same thing we did in Encarnacion, different fighter, different game plan, but overall the same thing. We're gonna hit, not get hit. We're gonna break them down. We're gonna outbox them, whatever it is. I got plan A, plan B, plan C for him. Whatever it is, but no matter what, we secure the victory.
Is there a worry though that? And I know I'm sounding like a negative Nancy, but you and your team, you follow boxing. You know what's going on. You know the last time we saw a fight like this, Emmanuel Rodriguez outboxed his opponent. Next thing you know, he lost. There's weird judging. Unfortunately, this is one of those states where you have no idea what they're looking at. Sometimes they might be looking at a whole different fight, and you're going, really? So how tough is it for a fight like this where, as you said, he comes forward. He might land. He might throw a lot of shots, but a lot of them don't land. But they sometimes look good here. How tough is it, you know, when you have a when you have a guy like that who he'll look better than what he's doing. He might not land anything, but he looks like he's throwing tons of punches. He's landing tons of punches. It's like no, I'm blocking everything. It just doesn't look that way.
I mean, let's just say it like this. I threw 400 and something punches in six rounds and five and a half rounds. So I mean, I hope he can keep up with me because I throw punches too. So I mean, I'm not worried. I'm not too worried about the judging. You know, since I was an amateur, you know, and as a pro, I secure my win very well, man. I'm not a basic fighter where I'm gonna stay in front of you like Marcus Bates stood in front of him or Adam Lopez. You know, I mean, he's gonna be fighting. He's gonna be in a world of trouble, man. You know, I mean, he's gonna. Like I said, I'm not worried at all. You know, our work is done. We have one more week of training, or two more weeks of training, really, but only one because we're gonna be in the bubble for the last. Sparring partner has been great. You know, I've been sparring 12 to 15 rounds, eyes closed, not tired, after running 10 miles. So you know, we're in shape, physically shaped, mentally focused. Everything's perfect. You know, so I really don't pay too much mind about. You know, I let the judges do their job, you know, and the referee, make sure the referee looks out for him because I'm going to walk him down and I'm going to break him up.
Take me to the bubble here because I know you fought last year and it was against Ranafis Javier Encarnacion. It was Microsoft Theater. Maybe a little more easier for you because, as you said, it's in your backyard. You could, you know, you could quarantine, but wasn't that too bad here because – you know, it's a hot, you know, a quick drive, you know, drive here. So you have to wait down maybe before the week. How much tougher is it this time around? Where you're flying out, then you'll be in the bubble. You can only work out once per day. You have to stay in your room. You can't, you know, you can go out, come out for, you get your meals delivered here. How much is that a pain in the ass? Because I'm guessing you have your own quirks. You have your own things. You might want to take a run. And because of COVID, you're stuck inside this bubble, basically in your room, almost 24/7, like you're a little kid in timeout.
It was perfect, man. I'll tell you that much. It wasn't even hard at all. I mean, it was fun. A lot of people complain about the bubble, and people say, "Oh, it's harder to make weight." That's when the discipline comes in. You know, you don't make weight the week of your fight. You're at, you know, I'm walking around 10 pounds overweight, you know, as we speak. You know, and we have 2 weeks left, so. I mean, I'm not worried about the weight. Weight, that just comes, that's as far as, that's just being a professional. You got to make sure you're at weight. You know, as far as running and all that stuff, you know, I run 10 miles a day. We'll be training that morning on Wednesday before we fly out. We'll be done with training. So Wednesday will be done. We don't really do anything after for Thursday and Friday. Just Friday weigh-ins, we just rest. Thursday, me and my coach might just take off a little bit, like just, you know, some timing stuff. But same thing as last fight, you know. We kind of follow the same routine every single fight as far as weight loss goes and focus goes. And I love the bubble. The bubble was cool. I was able to focus and relax and rest. And, you know, I was in a beautiful suite. Thanks to PBC and TGB for putting me in a beautiful suite the way I had. Man, it was perfect. I think everything was great. You know, I think the bubble is actually a great thing. And I like it. You know, I wish it can be like this all the time.
If you're just tuning in, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we've got it is Victor Pasilis here on the show. We're talking all things, of course, his fight with Reese Aleem coming up here once again on January 23rd, Mohegan Sun Casino. We're talking the bubble. We're talking different opponents. Let's talk about this contract here. It's a 3-fight deal. It's now official. What was for you the selling points? Like when, because there are other people, I guess, involved. I bet Matchroom probably came a call in Top Rank, Golden Boy Promotions. At the end of the day, what was PBC and TGB offering that made you go, you know what, we're taking the deal, I like this here, sign me up for at least 3 fights and maybe we'll do some future business down the road?
I after this fight, you know, me and my manager and my coach, you know, and family, friends, I mean, not family, you know, team, friends, and, you know, we all just discussed, you know, I mean, you know, as I was in the bubble, you know, for my last fight, I just fell in love with the whole team, you know, PBC, TGB, you know, Fox, you know, Showtime. It was perfect, man. They treated me with respect, you know. You know, Dad Joe Goosen is like a big brother to me since I was 8 years old, you know. So Ray Flores is cool. You know, I know everybody, Nancy Rodriguez, Chase, you know, I know them all. They're all friends since I was a kid, you know, so it felt more like home. And another thing too is, you know, you gotta look at the business perspective, the business side, you know. PBC has most champions at my weight class, you know, so why would I want to go with like a Top Rank or a Golden Boy or just, you know, or anybody else when, you know, this is something new, it's fresh, they're treating me with respect right off the top, they're keeping me busy 3 months and a half later. This is all I wanted, so it would be kind of naive and stupid for me to go to look for another deal when they're giving me such a great deal. And as far as competition goes, I mean, I want to fight against, you know, after we get Raheem out of the way, you know, we're gonna. I would love to fight, you know, either the winner of Fullerton and Leo, or if not, we don't get him, then we'll have the Intercontinental for the WBA. So Figueroa is right there, and if we don't get him, then hopefully Luis Neri or Ray Vargas. You know, they're all signed with PBC. So I mean, it's from business side, it's a smarter move to stay with PBC. But from, you know, from the heart, I mean, I like it. I felt comfortable. I didn't feel like everything was fresh. Everything was nice. You know. There's no need to go backwards when we're stepping forward.
I'd say the last 2 or 3 years has been a big push within the PBC to sign a lot more Hispanic Latino fighters. And they've had a lot in the past, you know, Abner Maris, Leo Santa Cruz, Mikey Garcia, but I'm talking now from the ground roots up, you know, guys they've developed, yourself, Angelo Leo, Jesus Ramos Jr., you get the Barrientos twins. You have Orlando Romero here. How much does that mean to you, knowing that, you know, as I said, this is the future we're playing for? You know, Armando Resendez, we've talked with a while back, that this is all part of the plan, that when, you know, the Thurmans, the Spences, the Garcias leave, you're that next crop. You're the guy who's going to start putting in, you know, to replace them. How much does that mean to you that they consider you part of that? They're looking at you going, he's the next group. He's the next generation of stars we're going to make.
I mean, I feel blessed. You know, I'm so happy that they chose me. You know, and I'm so happy that I was able to fight a fighter like Encarnacion, who was just knocking everybody out and huge. I stepped up to weight, 126. You know, we went out there and we didn't just beat him. We beat the shit out of him, and we made him look like an amateur, you know. And I feel like that's what PBC needs. PBC, you know, that's what boxing needs itself. You know, PBC, you know, was very smart by picking me to showcase. And I don't think the world, nobody ever expected that show out. You know, I knew I was gonna do great, but you know, like I said, I have almost close to 300 fights. You know. All my fights have always showed out really well, so it was a great feeling for me to be picked by PBC and then recontacted again for more fights. And you know, it's a blessing. It's a true blessing. I feel honored to be able to fill in shoes as far as the Spencers and Thurmans and you know, because I am here for the next 10 years, and you know, I don't see myself getting beat by none of these champions or none of these contenders or whatever you call them. You know, but like I said, it's no hard feelings. I'm not gonna talk crap. I'm just gonna let them know, you know, there's levels to this, and I just feel like boxing, you know, I'm learning every day. Still, I'm 28 years old, I'm still learning every day, you know, how to fight in this, you never learn. I mean, you never stop learning in boxing. So, you know, I'm open minded to everything, you know, and I feel like, you know, my skill level is just gonna go higher and higher, and I feel great that I'm gonna be with PBC doing this, because I feel like PBC is putting their fighters out on a podium, putting their fighters, you know, out there and making, giving them the right money and giving them the right fights. They take care of their fighters, you know, and I respect that a lot. So I just feel blessed to be a part of the whole movement.
Last couple of questions before we let you go, and as I said, I know we're pressed for time here. With everything, how tough are these fights, though, in terms of, it's the holidays. I mean, you started training, I'm guessing, right after your fight. So December, January, Christmas Eve, New Year's Day, not much eating, not much drinking. You're not going out. You're training. You're, you know, quarantining yourself. You're in the gym here. And with everything going on, how tough is that sometimes taking a fight like this when, because of it, you had to miss Christmas. Because of that, you had to really miss New Year's Day, New Year's Eve. Because of that, you got to sacrifice what most of us here, you know, can't imagine doing, which is not eating and not drinking.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up my whole life fighting. So since I was 10 years old, I never had Christmas or Thanksgiving or New Year's. And those now, this Christmas, I had a great Christmas. I was with my wife, my two kids. You know, my father-in-law lives literally next door to me. Like, we live in the same gated communities. You know, and I'm from East Los Angeles, and so is my father-in-law. So when I moved out here, my father-in-law followed me with his wife, and it's me, my wife, my two kids, and my father-in-law, my mother-in-law. So, you know, we're tight knit for the last 5-6 years that we've been up here in the Bay. So same old thing, you know. Christmas was a couple tamales and some pozole, and Thanksgiving, you know, turkey, ham, and everything. You know what I mean? My son's birthday was the 26th of Thanksgiving. So, you know what I mean? But the thing is, you just got to be a professional. You can't stuff your mouth. You can't stuff your face until you blow up. But same time, too, I work out so much. I've trained so hard. I run so much to where the next day I was even lower in weight. You know, I mean, I didn't take no days off. You know, for the last few years, you know, I've kind of, for the last couple of years, you know, 2015 and 2018, I've had fights in January. So, you know, it's just like a scratch record, you know, and nothing changes. You just, and the drinking part, you know, of course, you know, I mean, what fighters didn't drink before their fight? You know, it's kind of common sense not, you know, to put yourself in that position or put that toxic in your body, you know. So, I mean, it was cool. You know, we got to sit down, we got to hang out, you know, we watched the ball drop, you know, everybody said Happy New Year, you know, by 12:30, I was already sleeping because I was tired because I trained that day and we sparred that day. So I mean, but my family and my kids, you know, I'm blessed for them to be so humble. You know, they're more excited about the fight than the celebrations. You know, we're gonna celebrate Christmas at January 24th. You know, I mean, we're gonna do it the right way. We're gonna go on a little vacation and everything, but they know the sacrifices it takes to get there. And you know, my son's very excited for his WBA bout to come home to him, and my wife and my daughter are very excited. You know, so I mean, it's just one of those things where you gotta. Separate the men from the boys. You know, I mean, if you want to do this, you're gonna do this. You know, most everybody in the world, you know, celebrates very, very hard. But we're going through a pandemic. There's nothing we really can do. So I felt like it was the perfect timing for me to take this fight.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, he'll be fighting. It's going to be only on PBC on Showtime, January 23rd. It's Fulton versus Leo for the title. It's this man here against Reece Salim. I give you once again all the way from the PBC and TGB Promotions from Redwood City, California. I give you it's Vicious, Victor Pasilis. Vic, before I let you go, where can the fans check you out at? Twitter page, Instagram, the website. Where can fans hit you up at?
Instagram, you know, Vicious Pasilis, you know, look me up. You'll see me on Instagram. You know, follow my life. You'll see a bunch of work, a bunch of training. You might see some food from the wife. You know, you might see the family. I'm very family orientated, so you know, my team is my home, you know. So, you know, follow me, guys, and you guys will be excited. You know, it's going to be good. January 23rd, tune in.
Victor Pasilis, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we're proud to have him on the show. We come back. Got a whole lot more here, but only on, it is Last Call. Last Call with the Alcohol, only on Blue Wire Hustle Network. Welcome back, everyone, to It's Last Call. Last Call to the Alcohol, only on it is the Blue Wire Hustle Network. And join me on the line, this man here. Well, if you don't know him, you have been following jiu-jitsu tournaments, as he is one of the best in the world at what he does, and that's submitting people. But now he'll be taking his talents to the MMA world. He'll be taking on Umar Kane in a one championship
heavyweight debut for him, MMA debut also. We're excited to have him on, talk about this and a whole lot more. I give you all the way from Salvinse, Sao Paulo, Brazil, now fighting out Long Beach, California. I give you his Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu master himself. I give you Marcus Vicinius, Oliveira de Almeida, or otherwise Marcus Buchecha. Marcus, start off here with a big question. Why now? Why did you decide to get into MMA and try your hand with not only submitting people, but knocking people out?
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Yeah, I think it's about time because I think I don't have anything else to do in jiu-jitsu. So I think I did pretty much everything. I have won 13 world titles as black belt. So I broke the record. I saw my name in Guinness book. So that was like a mission accomplishment feeling in the sport. So, and then COVID starts and everything changed. So training got weird. So I said, you know what? It's time to do something different. I always want to try to test myself in the cage. So I just, this year, something clicked in my mind and I just decided to do the transition and we start training. Actually, you thought about the debut, but the opponent got changed because Omar declined the fight. So I don't have opponent right now. So still waiting, but still training.
How tough is that right now? You know, training for a guy you don't know or who it is, because usually I'm guessing you and your team want to have like an idea of, okay, is he a wrestler? Is he a striker? What are we getting ready for? What can we do? How tough is it trying, you know, just working on everything to improve yourself, but going, okay, well, let's get ready for everything. This could be like a grab bag. You put your hand in it, you have no idea what you're going to get.
Yeah, pretty much. I think everybody knows my jiu-jitsu, my background is jiu-jitsu. So I'm not going to change like 20 years of my life for like 1 year of like striking. Of course, I'm going to try to use the jiu-jitsu no matter what in any fights that I do in my life. That's not going to be different the first one. So doesn't matter who I'm fighting. My plan will be the same, you know, to put my game on. My game plan on the fight and stick with the fight. So right now, of course, doesn't really matter what style is going to be my opponent. My game plan will be the same.
Let's talk about, for you, dealing with the last, let's say, year or so. It's been tough because with COVID, gyms have been closed. Businesses have been closed. A lot of promotions weren't fighting. A lot of, you know, travel, that's been out the window. I mean, for you, how tough has it been to just adapt, not only as a fighter, but just a person with all the restrictions, all the, you know, the new rules and having to deal with just a new world as we know it?
Yeah, of course, it's been really hard for everyone, not just for me, but for everyone. I think the whole world is being the same problem. But I'm not the kind of person that's going to sit at my house and cry about it. So I'm doing everything that I can, everything that is possible. I keep training, I keep focused, and keep doing my thing, and keep training, keep with my goals, my plans, and that's what I'm doing since the quarantine starts and everything. And I kept doing everything I could to keep active. To, of course, because if you let your body fall apart and your mind will fall apart as well. So I didn't let that happen with me. So that's why I tried to keep really active the way I could. And now I'm still doing the same. So nothing to complain. Just you got to adapt, right? We don't know how long it will take to be back to normal. So you have to adapt and you have to keep doing. Otherwise, you know, you're going to get crazy.
I give fighters a lot more credit than I do other athletes because you can't social distance as a fighter. I mean, all these rules, I mean, when you look at the NBA, well, you can social distance, you know, working out by shooting hoops, doing, you know, doing all this stuff here, doing passing drills because, hey, 6 feet apart, no problem. You can do that even in baseball, soccer, football. You can't do that in fighting. I mean, you have to be, you know, with somebody. You have to be, you know, almost face to face, touching them, you know, sparring with them, grappling. How tough is that for you guys when, as you said, you know, you're at the gyms now and it smells like bleach, because I'm guessing you have to wipe stuff down with, you know, immediately. Then you go back on the mat and it still smells like bleach. I mean, how much for you has there been like, okay, well, how am I supposed to do this? And how they had to modify everything so that you can not get COVID, but yet still work out, still train?
Ah, man, being honest, like I'm more scared about the depression than the COVID. You know, I think that kills much more. It's been killing much more since like long time ago than the COVID. And if I stay in my house sitting, and I think I could be way worse. I got like a lot of friends that got depression, and I know how it is. And you know what I mean? It's something that, man, you can walk across the street and you can get hit by a car. So if you stay at home, of course, we'll be like safer, but we know the risk. So everyone that trains, everyone who is in contact, it's in risk of getting the COVID. So I got it already. Everyone in the gym got it. Wasn't like bad at all. But of course, you have just the worst part. You have to stay at home like for like 14 days to don't spread even more. But I got it. And now I feel like, you know what I mean? It's at least I don't have to worry about this anymore with myself, you know what I mean? Because so, but it's, I never really had a problem because of that, because I knew sooner or later somebody will have it in the gym without symptoms and would like pass to you without even know. And that was exactly what happened. And it is what it is.
Well, last couple of questions, we'll let you go. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we have his new 1FC, one championship heavyweight contender, Marcus Buchecha, as he makes his pro debut. It's going to be February 24th on one championship. We've seen a lot of guys who come from a BJJ background who are fantastic. And the guys who do well, the ones who I'd say are the better ones, Neiman Gracie comes to mind. We've seen, you know, guys like even Fabricio Werdum. They know how to adapt. They become, you know, passable strikers to good strikers. They know how to stop wrestling. It's almost like a Swiss Army knife. You can do everything well. So for you, how tough is it now having to learn how to throw punches, learn how to throw kicks, have your, you know, and the way I mean learn, like the footwork, positioning, you know, correct technique. I mean, how tough has it been to have to learn a whole new thing, which is completely different from jiu-jitsu?
Of course, just like you said, you know, it's a lot of things, but at the same time, it's fun because I'm learning something new. Of course, like I said before, in jiu-jitsu, I didn't have like the same motivation anymore. I won everything that I wanted, and it was hard to have the same motivation. Now every day I'm learning, every day I'm feeling better. Every sparring session I felt like much better. So it's something, it's coming along little by little. So, but it's been fun. So I think that's the most important. Of course, there is hard days, harder days than others, but it's been fun, of course. But the most difficult part for me, it's the mixing everything up. So, because of course, if you're just grappling, you just grab. If you're just striking, you're just striking. But when it's about mixing everything up, then it's getting a little bit more complicated. But I'm loving it. It's been a great transition. I'm really excited, and I can't wait for the debut.
As I said, for every Rafael Lovato, you got Gregor Gracie. For every guy like even Fabricio Werdum, there's a Rodolfo Gracie. I don't mean to pick on people, but this is tough. As I said, everybody now knows enough about BJJ where even if you can't do it well, you know how to defend it. You know what to look out for. This isn't like the old days where you could sneak up on people and they have no idea, and you're arm barring them or leg locking them or triangle choking them, and they're just completely helpless. How tough is it now having to learn to master all this stuff so that when, you know, they are ready, so that if they're preparing to defend your jiu-jitsu, you can catch them with a takedown, catch them with a strike. I mean, how much of this is now learning the mental aspect of everything?
Yeah, that's something different for sure. I I'm really excited to see how it's gonna be there in the cage. But I'm training a lot, and it's something that I never experienced before, fighting in the cage. So I'm really excited. I don't know how it's gonna be, but that is just one way to only one way to find out, and that's gonna be really soon.
Very heavy, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, we are proud to have on the show. It's making his heavyweight debut once again, February 24th, only on one championship. I give you, it's none other than Marcus Buchecha. Marcus, before I let you go, where can the fans check you out at? Where is the Twitter page, Instagram, the website? Where could fans contact you at?
Yeah, just like because you just said, of course, it's supposed to be on February 24th, but it's not for sure because, like I said before, the last opponent turned down the fight, so I don't have opponent yet, so it might get postponed a little bit, but I'm not sure yet. So I'm keep training, keep the focus is the same. I'm really excited to fight that this organization, one championship, but the place that I always want to be part of, especially after I met Chatley and everyone from Evolve MMA. They treat me like, you know, really part of the family, and really excited to be with them. Really excited. And I'm happy to be doing my camp here in Florida, training with everyone American top team. So it's been great. And if people want to like follow me, if want to support me, my Instagram page is at Marcus with you, Buchecha, just like my nickname. And Facebook, Twitter is all the same thing. And that's it. I'm really excited. So I would like to thank you everyone for the support. Thank my sponsors, Ruka and Choyoro and Ruka. And that's it.
Marcus Buchecha, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we are proud to have him on the show. We come back, though. We got a whole lot more only on It Is Last Call. Last Call with the Alcohol, only on the Blue Wire Hustle Network.
Welcome back, everyone, too. It's Last Call. Last Call with the Alcohol, only on It Is the Blue Wire Hustle Network. Now, join me on the line. Well, I give you a man who has helped me with my success for many years. He is one of the hardest working men in boxing, knows everything, is on the ball. Well, he has created an empire of his own, the Boxing Voice. I give you, once again, the founder of the Boxing Voice, one of the men who I would say is the, dare I say, Stephen A. Smith of boxing reporting. I give you Nestor Gibbs. Nestor, let's start off here with, we're still talking about Ryan Garcia, Tank Davis, that fight, hopefully it happened. Let's ask a big question here. How impressed were you after Ryan's win? I mean, was it an impressive win or was it a good win?
And now I'm going to talk some boxing with you, but when it comes to Ryan Garcia, I think that he did exactly what he needed to do, and that was give the people a reason to believe him and no longer doubt him. And I think that, you know, in very few instances do you get an opportunity to show the people that you can suffer adversity and come back from it. I mean, obviously everybody wants to get a 100% clean win, but I think that there is something there in seeing that Ryan got up off the floor to come back and win. I think you give him a little bit more credit versus not going down. Now you know he has dog. Now you know he can get up off the floor to get a stoppage. So, yeah, I was impressed, man. I was impressed, and I'm happy for him that he finally was able to prove to the boxing world that he's more than just a social media phenomenon.
Here's my concern, and maybe I'm being nitpicky here. I don't think we learned anything, though, in terms of, yes, he got off a canvas. That was impressive. This wasn't, though, like Joshua getting up, and then all of a sudden you have this, you know, wrecking ball charging at you and Andy Ruiz, and you got to fend off the attack. I always thought Luke Campbell just, it was like he was happy almost to be in the fight. He never really attacked. He never put a lot of pressure. He got the knockdown, but I learned from Ryan that, you know, when you sit back and let him, you know, push the pace, he's a dangerous power puncher. He can knock you out. Did we learn anything, though, about what happens when he's, you know, when he really is hurt, when he can't just clear the cobwebs and not have a guy pushing? Like, what happens when a Tank Davis, Teofimo Lopez, they have him hurt and they smell blood? They're ready to just go for the kill.
I mean, I think that that's the intrigue in the fight, you know. There are going to be a fraction of people like yourself that believe that he showed vulnerability in going down, and that a big puncher in Tank will be able to get the job done. But I think that there's going to be a fraction of people that believe that if he goes down, he can get up the way that he did with Campbell. Campbell didn't press. But he didn't press because he told you he's never hit that hard. He felt the shots through the guard. So, you know, Tank is going to have to go through the fire without getting burnt if he wants to just knock out Ryan. And I think, again, that's the intrigue. That's what we'll be paying for. Can he knock out Ryan? Or can Ryan, you know, take him to deep waters? He's not Gamboa that was 39 years old. Ryan is a lot younger, punches a lot harder. So it's an intriguing fight.
I know both guys have agreed to a fight. That's easy. That's the easy part. I mean, both guys want this fight. Does it get made, though? I mean, let's face it. Oscar does not like Al Haymon. They hate each other as much as Donald Trump and the Democrats. Oscar has even said, I do not have a good relationship with Al Haymon. I do not like talking with him. Why should we believe this fight's going to happen when Oscar's looking around going, well, I can maybe do Devin Haney instead. That's on his own. I could do another fight instead. I don't want to deal with Al Haymon.
Well, it's not really up to Oscar, you know. Guadalupe Valenciana is a very powerful attorney, and he is the advisor of Ryan. And, you know, he is a good friend of Al Haymon. And, you know, until someone proves my source wrong, Ryan is within his right to make a pay-per-view out of the DAZN network without breaching contract. Meaning he has their blessing to make a pay-per-view. So if the Tank fight can be negotiated, DAZN doesn't stop it. And as far as Oscar, he works for Ryan. He's only a promoter. He cannot stop it. He can advise against it. He can try and say that the numbers don't make sense. But there's probably no legal way for him to stop the fight. The fighter is the fighter. If that's the fight that he wants and he agrees to the split, he agrees to the split.
How excited are you about this fight? Because you and I talk.
I can't keep the contract, right? Like, A, Leonard Ellerbe and Floyd Mayweather, they will send Valenciana the contract, so Ryan's going to see it. B, they'll probably see Oscar. And even if it was, for whatever weird reason, the opposite way, and the lawyer because you got to remember, Valenciana is an attorney advisor. So for some weird way, it goes the opposite, and Ryan doesn't receive the contract first. Well, then Oscar still has a fiduciary responsibility to show Ryan the offer. You can't turn down Ryan's offer for him. So, I just don't see how Oscar holds it up. That's the fight Ryan wants. You know, Oscar's out here saying that's the fight that he wants as well. So, we'll see.
How excited are you about this fight? Because you and I have talked about how we want to start seeing more younger guys take initiative. We want to see more younger guys, you know, step up to the plate and make these fights, especially with COVID, where every sport now is competing with fans, because fans all of a sudden, you know, are going, well, I can't afford this, I can't afford that, I'm living my own life here. How big is it? How much do you like the fact that these two guys are going, you know what, screw this, let's do it. You know, we can wait, we could wait, we could let it marinate, as they say, but we're ready to do this right now, right here.
Excited, man. I'm excited. Look, I'm even all on board with ESPN and calling them the new Fantastic Four or the Fabulous Four. I'm with that. These guys are young. They're all early 20s, not even mid 20s. They're all under 23 years old. I think maybe Tank might be slightly older, and not by much. So the fact that they all want to fight each other now is beautiful. I mean, Teofimo Lopez already fought and beat Lomachenko. So, you know, he gets the bulk of the credit. But now, if Tank fights Ryan, that's another piece eliminated. And we will have three, Teofimo, Haney, and the winner of. So I think it's a beautiful thing. I think the time is now. I think not only is the time now, I think that with the following of Tank, who has over 2.6 million Instagram followers, who is connected to Drake, his ring outfit is by OVO and Drake. He's heavily publicized on popular urban sites like The Shade Room and Hollywood Unlocked and even TMZ. And you got Ryan with over 9 million subscribers or 7, 8, 9 million, something crazy like that in terms of Instagram followers for Ryan. So it's just like, you know, why not bring these two together right now so they can attract more fans to our sport? The following of these two are so huge that you want to hope it's going to give the sport that we love extra added eyeballs, and can possibly, you know, attract new boxing fans. And he has 8.2 million subscribers, Ryan Garcia does, you know, and that is just a lot. That is a lot.
We're going to switch topics here a second here. So I want to go to PBC on Fox, January 30th. It's Alantes Fox versus Armando Resendez. We'll talk about that in a brief second. Big fight here is Caleb Truex versus Caleb Plant. Look, it's no secret. Caleb Plant has been calling, almost, you know, demanding a fight with Canelo Alvarez. He feels he's the guy to beat him. How big is this fight for Caleb in terms of, all right, we want to see a knockout. We want to see something in the mid-rounds. We want to see, you know, can you start banging the war drums and showing, hey, he's a legit threat. He is somebody that Canelo is, you know, it's worth making Canelo versus Caleb, or is he just another belt holder? It'll be like Callum Smith, and we get 12 rounds of just Canelo beating the crap out of somebody.
I mean, I think when it comes to Caleb Plant, everyone can agree, passes the eye test. And out of all the champions in that division, not named Canelo, who just became a champion in that division, I think that Caleb Plant was the most proven. You know, he won his belt versus the real champion. He was the mandatory challenger to Jose Ustategui. And he took him out in fantastic fashion. Unlike, any of the other champions at the time, you know, David Benavidez, who was the WBC champ before losing it at the scales, you know, he won a vacant title versus Ronald Guerrero and had a rematch, right? So, or, you know, and even Callum Smith, who was the other, you know, legit number one, he won his belt in the World Boxing Super Series. No knock on that. That made him the legit number one, but he's already lost that belt to Canelo. So I think that Caleb is that last link. He and Billy Joe, right? And the rumor is Billy Joe Saunders is going to be facing Andre, which leaves, you know, Caleb. Now, as far as Caleb taking out Truax, yeah, I mean, look, what network doesn't love a knockout? What fan doesn't want to see one? But we also have to understand what we have in Caleb, and what we have is a pure boxer. And, you know, that just might be his thing, is to outbox these guys, outclass them. No doubt that he gets a knockout from time to time, but I don't think calling for the knockout is what he has to do. I think he has to get the win. He's already gotten two Canelo offers without knocking anybody out. So what's the difference?
I guess the difference here is, and you, because he wants to be treated as, he wants a good offer. He wants, I'm guessing, like, at minimum, 60-40. That's probably, you know, for him, the, you know, he wants to be looked at as, go, okay, I am a worthy champion here. I'm not, you know, as I said, I'm not, you know, Callum Smith, who's happy to be here. I'm not, you know, Anvil Yildirim, who's going to be just delighted to get a Canelo payday. I'm here to beat Canelo's ass. I can do it. As I said, how big is it for him to start showing people, well, he could do it, that he is a legitimate threat, not just another one of these guys who, you know, as he said, he might pass the eyeball test, but, you know, once he gets in there with the king, it's a whole different story.
Yeah, I just don't know why does Caleb deserve 60% or 40%. I mean, you know, he's a one-belt champ. Biggest name is the champion that he beat. You know, that's it. You know, I mean, it is, I don't even know why we're talking about splits. I think that you're getting a Canelo fight, and that's it. You're getting an opportunity to fight, you know. I don't see what Mike Lee and Caleb Truax are doing to increase his split.
Should be here. Go to Caleb Truax. Oh, and he said, "Hey, I've been down this road before. I beat a guy similar to Caleb Plant and James DeGale. You know, everybody thought it was going to be a walk in the park. They're going to unify the titles, and I sort of upended the apple cart here. Can Caleb do it again? I mean, is he good enough, and is he, you know, smart enough and nasty enough where he can maybe drag Caleb Plant into deep water and force him to go, crap, this is going to be a walk in the park."
I don't believe so. Yeah, Caleb Truax upset the apple cart with DeGale, but James DeGale is not Caleb Plant. Caleb Plant trains with Coach Larry Wade. He has a strength and conditioning coach. He has a head trainer. He lives in a gym. He's not going to get caught slipping, in my opinion. I don't believe that. Truax is on the, you know, the back end of his career. I just don't see the upset happening with the boxer that is Caleb Plant. Truax would have to really hurt Plant to win this fight. I think that Plant is just too good of a boxer.
I want to touch briefly on the co-main event. Armando Resendez, 15-0, you know, young Mexican fighter, will be taking on Alantes Fox. It used to be, you know, the PBC was predominantly just African-American. Yes, you had, you know, your Leo Santa Cruz, but mostly it was a lot of African-American fighters. We've seen now they've been trying to get more young Hispanic fighters, whether it is Resendez, Jesus Ramos Jr., who I'm very high on, a lot of people in boxing are. We had the Barrientos twins. You have Omar Juarez. how much is this a concern, you know, a concerted effort by the PBC to go, okay, you know what? The Hispanic market loves boxing. It's always been those loyal fans. We want to get more of these, you know, young kids coming up in the pipeline so we can get that next big Latino star, get that guy who can maybe carry us when Spence, Porter, Thurman are all gone.
Who's the next Latino star, or do I see the conservative effort that PBC is making?
Do you see the conservative effort PBC is making in terms of getting, you know, more of these rising Hispanic fighters?
I think that it's always been there. I think that they were just focused on the fighters that they had, that now, you know, that was the 2012 era, and now we are, you know, 9 years removed from that, and it's time to reinvest. So every investment is at its pace, right? You don't buy a house and then without flipping it, buy the next. I mean, unless you're rich, right? But you buy one, refurbish it, sell it, and buy the next. And I think that's kind of the same game plan, right? He had all those fighters. And if we're just speaking Latino fighters, I mean, he had the David Benavidez's of the world, Mario Barrios of the world, you know, Leo, Abner, Fondura, who's been around, Javier, Fortuna, who's always been around on the PBC side. I mean, just so many, man. A Centennial. Oh, my God. I need to probably go per division. You got to think of, you know, Cuadras. What's the guy that Gary Russell just defended his title, you know, that was trained by Robert Guerrero, who's also Latino, and his father, you know. But it's just so many to mention, honestly, because we're going to do them a disservice. But I think that, like everybody, I think PBC is, you know, if you want the honest truth, I think that they're not signing enough fighters in general. I think the Top Rank and Matchroom have the one up on that, or the leg up on that. I think they are signing more future. More and more interviews that I do are being conducted with, you know, young talent, 20s, 19s, 18s. It's like, wow, these guys are turning pro so soon. I mean, Top Rank has Xander Zayas, Puerto Rican welterweight. They signed him at 17. So, I mean, that's their future, you know. But yeah, you know, I see PBC, I guess, signing, you know, if you want to say more Latinos, I guess. I just wish they would be signing more fighters overall.
Last few questions, we'll let you go, because I know we're pressed for time here, and you're always as busy as I am. How much has COVID hurt the sport in terms of the big dogs doing well? Matchroom, PBC, Top Rank, they have their TV deals. They don't have to worry about, you know, crowds as much because they are still getting money. How much is it killing the smaller promotions, the Bellas, Banner Promotions, Main Events, all these promoters who, they're damn good, you know, a lot of them are damn good people. They work their butts off, but without a TV deal, they rely a lot on crowds. And with those no longer available, how much is it hurting all these promoters who are just looking, going, we can't even put on cards now. We have nothing. We're reliant on whatever Showtime or PBC or even Top Rank offers us.
It's the new world, man, and everyone has to adapt. It's just the bottom line. Everyone has to adapt, and you know, these promoters have to do the same. You know, PBC went to Texas. They put 20,000 in with Earl and Garcia. You know, you just have to get creative. There are locations that are allowing certain amount of crowds with certain restrictions and following certain guidelines. And you know, you need to do your best. You have to be a hustler in this business. This isn't a business that gives you anything. You know, you only get what you earn or what you take.
While back, you and I spoke about the next stars and the next big things here. And as we said before, you mentioned, of course, the four of Devin Haney, Teofimo Lopez, Tank Davis, Ryan Garcia. Give me some other people. Give me some names that, you know, maybe they haven't had the big match yet, or they haven't gotten, you know, that big televised event yet. Give me some guys, let's say, you know, that you know of, that you go, they'll have the next step. They just need that big fight, and they'll take the next step to become a bigger name or even a household name.
Well, Elvis Rodriguez, Shakur Stevenson, quite a few, man. Devin Haney. You know, Devin Haney's a fight away from being a superstar, I think. Belanga, man. Oof. I'm waiting for him to, he's going to blow. You know, Edgar Belanga. I think Mario Barrios is a fight away, a good win. You know, maybe if he does fight Regis Progre, that could put him over the top. There's a few guys out there, man, that Jerron Ennis is another waiting to break out. Virgil Ortiz is waiting to break out. You know, there's a lot of potential stars in the making out there right now, particularly. The sport is in a very good place, you know, believe it or not. I mean, think about it. Even with COVID, there's still so much TV. You know, you still got Showtime involved. You still got Fox involved. You still got ESPN involved. You have the Spanish channel still involved. All of those platforms showing fights. Then you got the Zones and the ESPN Pluses of the world. You know, I mean, and then NBC Sports. They gave you Ring City from right live from, you know, Freddie Roach's backyard. So there's been a lot of boxing, man. We've definitely come a long way in the last 7 years. Where, you know, boxing is and has always been an international sport, but now it's getting international exposure, at least by us Americans, right? Like, the Americans are being introduced to more world-class fighters. Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Croatia, Nigeria. All these countries have become big players in boxing over the last 7 years. And, you know, the stars or potential stars, like you asked, you know, I think Filip Hrgović is, you know, a heavyweight knockout over the right fighter away from, you know, a potential takeover from what it looks like, the way that he fights, you know, a potential takeover.
Well, unfortunately, we got to wrap this up. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to have him on the show. As I said, one of the guys who's helped me along the way and one of the best, I'd say, boxing insiders / reporters in business. I give you from the boxing voice himself. I give you Nestor Gibbs. Nestor, where can people check out your podcast and your shows? Where can fans hit you up at?
That's GTO on Instagram and Twitter, and you can catch me every single day on YouTube at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. West Coast, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, live on YouTube.com/TheBoxingVoice, doing a morning boxing show every single day and twice on Thursdays at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. And even rounding out the weekend with a Sunday 7 p.m. Eastern show.
Nestor Gibbs, ladies and gentlemen, we are proud to have him on the show. We got to wrap this up once again, though. So for Nestor Gibbs, for Marcus Buchecev, one championship, for Victor Pasilas of PBC, this is Chris Connor saying I'm out of here. Have a great rest of the day, everyone. There's going to be more action coming up to you on Friday, including I can now announce it's going to be Showtime. Anthony Pettis joined the show. Don't want to miss that. All this and more only on It Is Last Call. Last Call with the Alcohol only on the Blue Wire Hustle Network. Have a great day, everyone. I'm out of here.